Our God was really, really at work this past week. And this little girl right standing here in front of me, she was a real trooper. And she got her injection, and, you know, we hope and pray that that's going to be the effective treatment. And we're thankful for what God did. We're also thankful that, you know, Luella had been in a nursing home. She went home and her feet are healing, so we're thankful for that. You know, God is the champion of all things. He works within your heart because that's where He is. Jesus is the champion. Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, right? He's there as your defense attorney, as your advocate. He stands between you and God the Father. And that's the only thing that can make you, what? Sinless. Because of what Jesus did. So we're thankful. As Jesus went to be with God the Father in heaven, He had already promised that the Holy Spirit would be sent. He talked about Him as being a comforter in some of the texts. He talked about Him as being other things in other texts. But He came right back and said, and 10 verses later, that the Holy Spirit will come to teach you all things, to remind you of all the things that I have taught you. So, you know, in you today is the Spirit of God if you're a Christian. Amen? And if He's inside you, then the possibilities are unlimited, aren't they? He said, I will give you all power. All power. He put no limitation on it. So you and I should think about that we have all power to do a lot of things. One of the things I want to bring up this morning is one of the things that's going on in this country, right in our political systems, in our government, and throughout this whole world, and that is the problem of being truthful. We certainly have it within our political network, don't we? We have it in our total political network, wherever it is, however it is. We have to face that. I was astounded some time ago when I read a book. It's entitled The Day That America Told the Truth. And actually, it was written by a fellow that had got a group of people. They went out and they did a survey of a lot of people in various aspects of the country. And they actually paid them to sit down with them and to tell what they believed to be the truth of America and how many people were truthful. The amazing thing that I bring back to just share with you, they said, well, who do you lie to was one of their questions, and here's what they answered. 86% of those surveyed said they lied to their parents. 75% they lied to their friends. 61% to their bosses. 59% to their children. 73% to brothers or sisters. 69% to their lovers, and 95% to pastors. The last one I threw in. But if you was in my shoes and walked around, you'd find out that that's probably true. That there's more promises that's given to the pastor than anyone else in the world. I'll see you Sunday. I'll be in Sunday school Sunday. Never show. I'm probably, one of those things that I've had to overcome is not getting mad at somebody whenever they lied to me. It's difficult, but that's true in our lives. We have so many people that deceive us or don't tell us the whole truth. And that's where this message is going to go this morning, because relationships are hard and they're difficult to keep, but they can only be kept whenever there's a integrity, you know? So I want to share with you this morning, if there's anything we need to do in this country, is recapture that love and feeling between spouses, between people. Because if we're Christians, we ought to be loving one another and loving on one another. Not in a marriage relationship, of course, or extra marital affair, but we're talking about loving each other and loving especially our our mates. Why don't I feel like I used to feel when we first was met? Can be a question. What has all the water that's went under the bridge, what has it washed away from our relationship? That could happen and be true in a church. Why have I lost this loving feeling for people, whomever they are? I want to share with you some basic four things this morning that's in your outline. You can follow along with me. There's many scriptures that I've also listed in that outline. But the important thing is we got to get to the point of as a country, if this country is going to survive, because God tells us that, you know, He's going to set us free, the truth will set you free. So consequently, if we're going to really be set free to do the evangelistic work and the teaching work and all the work that God wants us to do, we've got to be truthful all the time. Amen? It has to happen. How would you like to have your wife come to you, men, and say, well, you know, for the next month, I'm going to be, because I love you so much, I'm going to be absolutely truthful to you and faithful to you for 5 days out of the next month. That wouldn't make it, would it? Think about it. And God puts up with this all the time out of you and I. And how we ought to be so embarrassed if we ever say anything that doesn't have some integrity with it. We ought to be so embarrassed before God. So I think the number one issue that we got to deal with if we're going to get that love and feeling back is integrity and certainly honesty and certainly the clarity of how we speak. Because sometimes we don't tell all the truth. We might tell part of the truth, but not all the truth. And so, you know, we're going to address that. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 17. The Bible says, the wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. You wonder why we're sick sometimes and got a lot of things happen to us? Maybe it's because we're not doing all that God's calling us to do. Again, in Proverbs 11:3, the Bible says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. I've seen that happen so many times in my last 25 years of actually untruthfulness destroying relationships. Untruthfulness. And untruthfulness can be sometimes half-truth, which is all lie. Proverbs 12:19 says, the Bible says, the truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. You see, truth, as God's telling us, stands the test of time and always will. We can't cover up things, but we must be honest and truthful with people that we deal with and people that we work with and certainly our brothers and sisters in church and certainly our spouses and certainly our children. As that survey that I despised when I read it and how true it is, it's unfortunate. Relationships within a family. We've got to tell the truth all the time. If we're living with someone and they're not a truth teller, then we don't know when they're telling the truth and when they're not. It's kind of like the little boy that yelled wolf, isn't it? He kept yelling. And they kept coming. And then that day, whenever the wolf did come, they didn't come. And I think that happens. The Word of God tells us specifically that we're supposed to let our yes be yes and no be no. There's no gray area with God, and there shouldn't be a gray area with us. Whatever we believe, yes, I believe that. No, I don't believe this. And yes, I'm going to be faithful. I don't know if you've noticed as I have, but there's been a downward trend in this country. And it might have started right in the Oval Office some time ago, or maybe forever, I don't know, but that same predicament can get right into our homes, right into our own families. To develop that intimacy and that intimacy of a relationship that's supposed to be in marriage, that we've got to tell the truth, and it's got to be told through and through. I read this little quote from somebody that said it. You know what a half-truth is? It's one complete lie. And if you think about it, that's true. Sometimes we only tell half of what we need to tell. That turns it into a lie, because the contextual, that turns it into a lie of what really can be. A lot of people want to say, well, that was just a little white lie I told. Well, I don't know what a little white lie is, but I'm told that it'll cause you to be colorblind. White lies are only part truths too, or distorting the truth, and we got to be careful. Someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. What happens when we hold back the truth? I think it sets up for a whole conflict to come about. When there's only half-truths, for example, it's going to be having people think about certain things that need to be done, but it's only half the way. And how do we get the rest of the way? And we don't get there. So I think the reason a lot of people do that is they want to avoid conflict. They only tell the good part. They don't tell the deceiving or the bad part. And by not doing that, you know, it's very difficult to avoid a conflict, because you don't know exactly where we're going from here. You know, we only got half the truth. It's very difficult. We think to ourselves, well, if I don't tell and don't speak that, I won't upset them and I'll just hold on to it. But let me tell you something about a true relationship. I've seen it over and over and had to deal with it over and over, and perhaps you have too. When only half the truth is told, eventually the whole truth comes out, and whenever the whole truth comes out, you got to deal with that, and then you've destroyed a relationship, whether it be within family or if it be other places. You know, sometimes people are saying, well, what they don't know don't hurt them. And things are kept swept under the carpet. And pretty soon there's a whole mound under the carpet. And when there's a whole mound under the carpet, eventually it's going to dissipate. And the half-truths come out. Proverbs 28:23. The Bible says this: he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterwards than he who flatters him with the tongue. You and I can pick up people, and yeah, we're supposed to edify. We're supposed to encourage by edifying. No question about that. But if we do it in a false manner and only part of the way, well, that's what he says. He who rebukes a man will find favor afterwards. In other words, it'll become an appreciative relationship after the dust settles. And there will be dust. But if it's done in love, and that's where we're going here in a minute. People everywhere appreciate frankness, truthfulness, and being straightforward with things. Being above board with whatever it is, that's what it is. But we also got to know how to handle that, which is part of what we're going to be talking about. You know, the truth is always going to come out. You know, even in a divorce court, they end up coming out, because what's courts do? They make sure all the truth comes out. And so it'd be so much better if we just let all the truth come out to start with, and do so in a manner that we're going to tell you about here in a minute. Number three, tell the truth all the time. Yes, and tell the truth through and through. But then third thing, tell the truth with others in mind. I got a scripture for you. It comes out of Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 15. Says, speak the truth in the spirit of love. You and I got to be truthful, but there's a way to approach that. There's a way to do that. And then he says, what? Speak the truth in a spirit of love. In other words, you and I have got to determine to do that in a loving way. Sometimes, and I've seen this and you have too, that the half-truth or the truth is used as a weapon. Sometimes it's almost like shoving a knife into somebody, and that's not the way we do it either. We're supposed to do that in love whenever we do it, and certainly we might be able to share some concern with someone, but you know, you got to make sure that sharing, well, how's it going to edify them? How's it going to lift them up? Is there any deceit in this, or where is it? So it's got to be spoken in love, but in truth. If you've noticed, if anybody comes at you speaking the truth in love, but if they come in an attacking mode, what really happens? You know, the TV might look like it's on, but it's not tuned in any channel. It's not heard. It can't be understood. It does not received in love. It wasn't said in love. And so, yep, it might be said, but it's not tuned into because it wasn't done in love. If you've ever noticed that, that occurs. So how do you know if what you're sharing is the truth in love? How do you know that? Well, I give you a scripture. It comes out of Ephesians again in chapter 4, verse 29. Here's what it says. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearer. Think about that a minute. It's on the board. You can look at it a minute. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification. What is edification? The lifting up, the encouragement. Necessary encouragement that it may impart what? Grace. What's grace? God's favor to the hearer. In other words, they can be lifted up and encouraged in love and doing and done in the right way. We've got to be careful. We're doing this, it should not impart something. It should impart edification, as the scripture says, to the one that's hearing. A lot of times we do it for our own benefit. We speak to another person. Are we doing it to release our own anxieties? Or are we releasing our own frustrations, our anger, our envy? What is it? Why are we saying this to this person? We ought to be getting in tune with that because it ought to be edifying someone else and in love. It will do great damage to a relationship with God and with someone else who hears something that whenever we're putting down somebody else to lift up ourselves, we should be lifting up others in love, not putting down others as some might do. The fourth thing I want to talk about this morning, and God really laid this one on me, is we got to speak the truth, yes, and do it thoroughly, yes, but with sensitivity. We got to be sensitive. Sometimes there are truths that we want to share that are difficult, and I understand that. And I and you probably go through this a lot of times. There may be some things that we need to tell someone, a spouse or a good friend, that they honestly don't want to hear. But you know, whenever those relationships start going downhill, it's time for us to step in love and to share it with honesty. Because we don't need to, if we know about it, and it's a, let me try to give you an example. And I think I can tell it with a story, but I'll try and make it brief. There was a group of missionaries that was working over in Africa. And the group of missionaries, they worked together, but they always went out on their separate paths to pray each and every morning. And as they went, actually through the jungle, if you didn't keep stomping down on that grass and the stuff that was coming up through, pretty soon you had a nice path. Well, the pastor that was in there over those missionaries, he kind of went around and he looked at each one of those paths each morning. Well, if there was grass growing on the path, he knew somebody wasn't where they needed to be. And so he could go to them and he says, you know, there's grass on your path, my brother. What was he saying? He gave a message to them, but he gave it to them in love. Hey, you're not praying. You need to get to praying. You know, if you go and hit somebody with that, they're going to forget it. But if I can give you this as just a kind of a little example, that there's ways to encourage and edify to into the grace of God without pounding on someone, and that's what we do not want to do. Tell the truth, but tell it with sensitivity. The problem is that we need to know how to heal people but not hurt people. We may see people straying off. But you know, it's one thing where you can go over and you can sit down one-on-one with the person. You don't take a whole group, but take just yourself. If you know and God's laid that upon your heart that something's happening to one of the brothers and sisters in Christ, it's our responsibility to go one-on-one to them. Not a whole group, but to go one-on-one and try to be the encourager. To just go and to pray with them. And as you're there and you're conversing with them, they might just pour out their heart to you that what needs to really be prayed for. That's whenever you really do ministry. That's whenever you can really make a difference in their life, is whenever you're one-on-one and praying with them and having them open up their heart, and how you grow closer in a relationship to the Almighty God plus them. Because you've did something that pleased God. You've pulled that person out of perhaps the muck and the mire that they was in, where they was stuck in the mud, and you was able to pull them out just through prayer, through edification and encouragement. There's another key thought. We always got to be thinking before we speak, and we got to pick the right time. Picking the right time, here's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 6. He says, because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. He says there's a right time for everything. The old saying, you know, that you and I have probably both heard is, be sure to engage what? The brain before putting the mouth in gear. That's pretty important, that we're careful that we don't throw something out there and it turns out to be gossip, that the truth is wrapped up in something that's not a total truth. We got to be careful of that too. Understanding there's three basic elements to always being where we need to be. Critical issues that I think are very critical. Number one is to tell the truth, but to do it with tact, and then the timing is pretty important. You know, if I know a brother is already down, I'm not going to go beat on him. I got to go encourage him. I got to give him an assuring word. I've got to encourage him of, you're doing a great job here, or you're not. So it's important how we do that. Sometimes you might get after I've talked to you this morning for a while, and I'm trying to give you exactly what God threw at me. Sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? And I understand how difficult it is. Many, many times whenever I've got to deal with things, I'll tell you what, straight up, I don't know how to deal with it. And the only thing I could do is pray and seek His face. And let Him then, and ask Him, as I've already done this morning, that He might speak through me to get to you. That He might use this message to change our attitudes on how we approach people. It becomes pretty important that we all do that. Yes, tell the truth, because the truth sets you free. I understand that. But we do it with a tact and in the right timing, as Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes. Knowing that if you put all three of those together, okay, we're talking about truth and tact and timing. Putting all three of those together is going to bring to the intimacy of a relationship that you need to have. And to do it consistently, thoroughly, as we've already talked about. When it's really bothering me, there's only one thing I could do, and you can do, as I've already mentioned, and that is, we've got to go to the Lord and get His direction. If it's bothering you that much, then how do you do it? And I want to give you the scripture that tells you how to do that. When the truth is shared with a loving intact and the perfect timing, here's what 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 tells us. But if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ the Son cleanses us from all sin. If there's anything in the world that I want this morning here for me and for you, is for you to see the light and me to see the light of Jesus Christ in everything that we do. That He becomes the example of us in everything that we do. And if you think about how He even approached the woman at the well, think about that story. How He approached her. It wasn't with you're a sinner, you're a prostitute. No, He did not do that, did He? As those old Pharisees was there and ready to stone her, He stood up and He said, you without sin cast the first stone. And that old group of people, they disappeared. And then Jesus said to her, where's the ones that accused you? And she looked and they were gone. And Jesus says, go and sin no more. Very simple. Jesus became the light, and you and I can be the light, but we need to do it with tact. Remember what Jesus said in John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's this freedom we're talking about? You know, a lot of us don't have the need or the encouragement that we need to go and to share with somebody else because there's something inside of our heart and our life called sin that keeps us from doing that. But once we can be truthful with, certainly with God, and truthful with ourselves, and repent of these things and get right with that relationship with God, and then be able to talk it through with spouses or people that we have differences with at the right time and in truth and with sensitivity. Got to be wrapped up exactly that way. Many people aren't bothering to share the truth anymore. So therefore, we live in lies. I am astounded at how the national news media is distorting people's minds in this country. If you listen to one, and I'm not going to get into, but there's the liberal, and then there's the conservatives. And if you listen to one, you get a totally different story than what you get over here. What happened was saying, this is what happened, this is the truth, that's no longer there. So consequently, you're getting not truth, you're getting half truth, and it's swayed one way or another. That's not what our God is intending for us to ever, ever do. The truth will set us free, that we'll be able to go and witness and do so because we know that our sins have been covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And consequently, I am now His vehicle. I am His ambassador to go in His stead to wherever He calls me to go and to do whatever He calls me to do. And I can do it with a freedom because I know I'm in tune with Him and I know I have nothing that's between Him and I. And I know who He is. And I know who I am. I am a saved child of God, but I have a responsibility to always be telling the truth and to tell the whole truth. And that's it. And to do it in love and to do it with a sensitivity. Some might have said this morning, well, I'm talking about real relationships. I want to talk about the intimate relationships of marriage just a moment. I've had folks that come to me and said, you know, and they might have been married 25, 30, 40 years. Say, well, you know, I really don't know all that I'd really like to know about my spouse. You know what's going on? Not the whole truth is being told. Not what really should be told. You think about back. I'm not going to go into a long dissertation, but just think back. Think back whenever you were having all those telephone conversations, when you were courting your spouse one way or the other. You was courting them and how you spent hours on the telephone of sharing one another's aspirations and dreams and possibilities and all of these things. And sometime, many times, in the marriage relationship, we get stuck in those relationships. We get stuck in them because we're no longer sharing. We're no longer sharing where we need to be. There was not the mutual honesty to get that relationship going again that needed to come. And when you have one of these, what I'm going to call come to Jesus meetings, or my wife has one of these let's talk type meetings. Whenever we've got something that she's going one way and I'm going another, and I say, whoa, wait a minute, time out. Let's talk about what we're accomplishing here for the Lord. Let's talk about what's going to satisfy God and then what's going to satisfy us, and let's enjoy that relationship. Whenever we need wait a minute, time out, let's talk. Let's talk about our priorities of how we're going to give things to whom and where and when. Let's talk. Let's talk about who we are, where we are, and what we need to do. Let's talk about our health issues and where we are and what we, how we are and where we, what we need to do. Let's talk. Let's talk. Let's get down. Let's have the integrity. Let's have the meeting. Let's understand that communication is what drives the marriage. Communicate, because we're looking at communication with someone is to help them into that sense of intimacy. And that communication with our Almighty God suffers because we don't have that intimate relationship, that close relationship with God anymore when the truth is not in us, and how we need to be looking at that. Have one of those let's talk moments with God too, and frequently, and not let the grass get on your track, brothers. Sisters, I want to tell you something. It's risky. I understand that as much as anybody. It's risky sometimes to tell the truth and to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's risky. And yes, I understand. Sometimes somebody will run and they'll escape. But you know what? Are we going to live with a half relationship that God wants us to have, or are we going to get the whole thing? We need to ask ourselves that question. It starts with truth and being honest with one another. I think there's a wide gap between the intimacy and the surface relationships that goes on in many marriages, and that's what happens. I think the longer you stay married, probably the more you expect things than really say things. But we need to keep that relationship wide open. You either allow that relationship to occur, as we're talking about this morning, or you're going to have something that's second to what God wants you to have. And I don't know about you, but I want everything that God will give me, especially those blessings that He has stored in those drawers up there. So we either allow the relationship to go, or you have second best. And I think we deserve, God wants us to have, He wants us to walk in the intimacy, not only with Him, but with our spouses, with our relationships, wherever they are, and certainly keep the professionalism where we need to keep it as well. Too many of us, I think we get married and we say, I do, and we say, well, now I'm one flesh and not two, but then we go back into two bodies, and we have two segments, and then we have two differing understandings of things. When there should be one, there's one God, we're one in the flesh now. We was made that in marriage. Consequently, we are one. We need to be one in all things. If there's anything that I think is needed in this country, whenever you talk about a 51-52% divorce rate, if there's anything that's needed in this country is to get back to the intimacy of love. And it starts with God, of course, but certainly ought to fall right into our marriages. Whenever that intimacy is not there, it's not the time to divorce. It's not the time to start fighting. It's not the time to have an affair. It's not the time to go on a spending spree or buy a new home or have a baby. Or go to a new time or go to a new town or look for a new job. But you got to remember something. Whatever you try to do new, you're still going to be on the scene. You can't run from things. They got to be faced, my friends. They got to be faced. You can't run from them. We had a message last week where Jonah tried to do that. And God had to turn him around. The question is, are you holding something back this morning that you need to be sharing with your spouse, with someone, your children? What are you pretending that you know and you really don't know? Some people do that. Some of us have lived lies, and we've lived with lies. That shouldn't happen. The truth will set us free, my friends. Jesus said it. He says, I am the truth. I am the light. And the truth will set you free. In the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there's a profound statement there that actually I was going to read that scripture and I chose not to start with. But it tells us, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 13, love rejoices in truth. Love rejoices in truth. When there is truth, when there is truth, there'll be respect. Where there's respect, there can be love. Sometimes it seems like we can't rejoice in the truth. And sometimes the truth is going to hurt. But he tells us very plainly, love rejoices in truth. It hurts deeply sometimes, but it's when it's spoke truly and straight up, all the time, at the right time, and with the understanding. Now, if there's anything that I have as a goal as a pastor, is to see that happen in every household. Is there's an intimate relationship, and it's one that's sharing the truth, and they're living the truth, and they're living the truth of the Almighty God. You know, and it becomes something easier in life, too. We can either live the life of saying, it's okay if I just hit a single, better than hitting a home run every time. You say, well, I can't hit a home run all the time. No, maybe not. But you can hit them a lot more if you intently try to do so. Got a question. Do you want the love and feeling back in this church immensely the way it should be? Always? All the time? Helping each other? Growing each other? Edifying? Picking up? Encouraging one another? Do you want a spouse that's a loving person that's there, that's ready to share the truth with you and you with her, and you're ready to sit down and let's have one of those let's go to Jesus times, and then let's talk times? I can tell you the let's talk times work. And Paula and I have to use them quite frequently because we got a lot of things going in different directions. Let's talk. Let's make sure we're where God wants us. You got to do it. I encourage you. I can't encourage you any more than I have this morning. Because I think, we just have to learn the very fact. And I'm just going to settle with this. The Bible tells us that love rejoices in truth. And the truth is what sets you free, my friends. And without it, we live in a lie in our life, very honestly. Our spiritual walk has got to be one in truth. It's got to be one that He calls us to do. When He calls us to do certain things in our family lives, when this Word tells us certain things, this is the truth, this is what we live by. You say, well, I get tired of that all the time. Well, I'm sorry. God said it, I didn't. I just related it. Let's stand and pray together, please. Father, thank you for this time we've had. And this morning, if there's one of us and all of us that need to come and bow down to you at this altar, I encourage you during this time of invitation. And we give this time to you. It's your time, not mine, not anybody else's. It's yours with this group of people. And if they respond to you, praise you, because it's your words. And we thank you for it as we come in the precious, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.